Ron Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Justice Department says it will not prosecute Attorney General Merrick Garland after passage of a U.S. House contempt vote. So Speaker Mike Johnson says the House will go to court to enforce the subpoena against Attorney General Merrick Garland for access to President Joe Biden's special counsel audio interview. More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
What the Department of Justice said is that the Attorney General's refusal to comply with this congressional subpoena to turn over those recordings regarding that interview between President Biden and Special Counsel Robert Hur did not constitute a crime. Furthermore, they argue that the longstanding position of the department is that we will not prosecute an official for contempt of Congress for declining to provide subpoenaed information subject to a presidential assertion of executive privilege.
CBS News has learned that the Biden administration is making plans to announce one of the largest immigration relief programs in recent history. CBS's Michael Toscano.
A plan being developed in the White House would offer legal status to hundreds of thousands of immigrants living in the country without proper documents. That's according to what people familiar with the plans told CBS News. Work permits and deportation protections would be offered to unauthorized immigrants married to U.S. citizens as long as they have lived here for at least 10 years. It's called Parole in Place and would also open up a pathway to permanent legal status and U.S. citizenship for some of the beneficiaries. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
A federal judge orders Alex Jones's personal assets to be sold to pay $1.5 billion owed to Sandy Hook victims' families. He had called the mass shooting a hoax, Jones saying outside of the courthouse.
This is only going to make me stronger, and I will never surrender in this information war. And as Colonel Travis said, victory or death.
The U.S. Supreme Court strikes down a Trump-era ban on gun accessories known as bump stocks. It was enacted in the wake of the deadly 2017 Las Vegas mass shooting. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
This is not about whether or not under the right to bear arms, under the Constitution, can you ban bump stocks? This is whether or not the ATF, an executive agency, could say semi-automatic weapons plus bump stock equals machine gun, and machine guns are banned under federal law.
Former President Donald Trump is serenaded in Palm Beach by his fan club on his big day.
Happy birthday, dear you.
Trump is celebrating his 78th birthday. A scare at the Oaks Amusement Park in Portland, Oregon earlier today. A ride malfunctioned, trapping at least 30 people upside down. They've been rescued and no injuries reported. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Mercury Marine is laying off 252 workers in Fond du Lac and making what it calls workforce adjustments at its other facilities. The job cuts will happen on July 26th. The company blames low sales. Mercury Marine is the biggest employer in Fond du Lac County. A U.S. police officer on January 6th says Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Harry Dunn is now campaigning for President Biden. He tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Trump's recent felony convictions should also disqualify him.
As a convicted felon, he's no longer able to possess firearms, but that's all right. He has the code to the nuclear weapon. Another individual may be disqualified from a job because they're a felon. He's now running on the fact that he is convicted.
Dunn campaigned for Biden in Madison on Thursday and Eau Claire on Friday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Baseball tonight. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta against the Reds. Hunter Green. The Cubs lost again last night to the Tampa Bay Rays 3-2. Chicago has now lost 8 of their last 9 series. NFL. Green Bay Packers have signed their first round draft pick. Offensive lineman Jordan Morgan. He was asked what does he think it'll take to earn a starting job this fall.
Every day you strive to be the best. You strive to be your best, and you compete with yourself first before you compete with everybody else. And That's the one thing I want to do.
College football, Mason Posa is a 6'3" high school linebacker from New Mexico, ranked as one of the best players in the nation. Last night, Posa announced what school he's committed to.
And for the moment we've all been waiting for. For the next 3 to 4 years, I'll be committed to University of Wisconsin.
That's linebacker Mason Posa with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, cloudy, then some storms possible early Sunday. Some sun for Sunday afternoon, heating up and more humid, high mid-80s. Currently, it's 66.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music critic Piet Levy, who joins the show to discuss all things Summerfest. We will also discuss the resurgence of the summer box office.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Hidden cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate all the work they do. And what a coincidence here. It's our Friday show, and we have our state senator, Mary Kunish, who has really been involved in the spearhead of our murdered and missing Indigenous relatives these past 6, 7, 8 years that you've been working, and even longer. We are always excited to have you on. Welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Umatake ape, everybody. It's really good to be here on this beautiful, beautiful Friday. So happy to join you, Robert and Haley, and all of those out there in podcast land.
Well, you know, it's the irony of things here is that we're not only a podcast, we're a radio show all over the country here. And one of the other ironies that I'd like to talk to you about is that we got a new state flag. And what day is it today?
Today is Flag Day here in Minnesota and across the nation. And so I hope that you all have your beautiful new Minnesota flag flapping out there in the wind. Maybe you're at your lake cabin and you've got that out by the lake for everybody to see. Maybe you're a public entity and you've switched over to the new flag. Wherever you are, I hope you've embraced that our beautiful new state flag. And I was really happy to be the author of that bill in the Senate.
Yeah, and we're proud to know you and proud to know that process. That process, just to buzz over that process again, because it was very intense process and a lot of people giving flag designs and on. And it wasn't just something that willy-nilly you guys thought of.
No, not at all. It came to my attention when I was in the Minnesota House. I served there for 4 years before I joined the Senate, and there were two of my legislative partners who were working on this or had been working on it. Peter Fisher, who is a state rep in St. Paul, had a young man that really was eager to get a new flag in. And so he was championing the flag over in the House, a new flag. And then the other is State Representative Mike Freiberg was championing a new state seal. And they, I sat next to one in back of the other, and they both are like, hey, you want to get in on this? And once I, you know, heard that that was even an option, because I was a pretty new legislator, I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, let's do this. The flag that we had was, did not follow good vexology guidelines. Good vexology guidelines are, you know, no more than three colors, very simple design, a design that a third grader could, you know, reproduce for a state report. And so we started a couple years ago on this, and it was just this past year that we were, not this year, not 2024, but 2023, we were able to pass it. And we created a task force that, you know, we all got grounded in what is a good flag, what is not good about our flag, and the inappropriate kind of racist attitude towards Indigenous people, the Native people here in Minnesota, needed to go. And we talked about it a lot. These were all public meetings throughout all of last summer. And then we had experts come in and talk to us about it. Then we opened it up to the public and said, send us your ideas, you know. And I have this spreadsheet that has thousands and thousands of entries that were submitted. Some of them came with explanation. Some needed none. Some just sent a good picture of their dog. the loon was a really popular one, but it was interesting during the discussion. One of our Republican members on the task force who lives in southern Minnesota said, why would we put a loon? I've never seen a loon. I've never heard a loon. Loons do not represent southern Minnesota, yet the loon is our state flag. But people had a lot of fun with the loon and the depictions, and we finally settled on kind of a conglomeration of a couple of items on the flag. So to the left, there's a dark blue, almost, it looks like a K, a full K, but it's sort of representative of the state, the shape of Minnesota, with an eight-pointed star on it, a white one, that represents the North Star. But there's a lot of cultural connotation, not just for Indigenous people, but for, you know, that was a symbol that we would see on flags for the Underground Railroad, for slaves that were escaping from the South to the North, and other cultures used that. And then to the left is a light blue that represents the sky and the water, you know, or that land of 10,000 lakes, you know, pristine sky. So that was the one that we settled on, and went through the whole process and figured that out, and came to a conclusion. We also have a new state seal that has all the state things in it, but in a really peaceful way. It has the wild rice, which is our state grain. Mm-hmm. It has the loon, it has the trees, it has the water, it has the star. It's really a lovely seal, and I think we can be proud of both that flag and the state seal.
I'm seeing quite a few in my neighborhood of the new flags, and I always bring this up when we talk deep about it, because I know the city of Madison had a flag change, and the weirdest thing is, I know the brothers that did it in the 50s marched in the same drum and bugle corps, the Madison Scouts, and they designed the city flag, but it had like Native designs that were from like the Southeast Natives. Mm. And so they changed it. But our friend Arvina Martin, who was the first city council, Native American city council member in Madison, went through almost the same process as you did, and she had nothing but good things to say about our new flag when it came out. So that was really cool to hear.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have strong opinions on it. I'm not going to lie. That was not like, it morphed into a beautiful flag, and I'm really proud of it, and I support it 150%. But if, you know, early on, if I had to pick a flag, I would have picked a different one. Mm-hmm. And maybe added some of these things into it. But yeah, people have really strong opinions still on this, and that's okay. You know, I was in a parade the other night, and there were our vehicle and other vehicles were sporting the new flag. And then our GOP counterparts, of course, had the old flag. And somebody's like, ooh, aren't you upset? Aren't you mad? I'm like, you know what? It's not that big a deal to me. If that's what speaks to you, that speaks to you. But this isn't something that we're going to shove down anybody's throat. And hopefully over time, they'll realize that, you know, it's time to embrace our new flag and join the rest of us.
As always, what a great attitude you have, State Senator. I wish I could be half the tolerant person that you are, and I really appreciate that. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish from the great state of Minnesota, and this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Mary T, inviting you to experience our integrative Mary T Health and Wellness Center, offering physical, occupational, speech, and lymphedema therapies. Experience our guided imagery, meditation, Tibetan medicine, dry needling, massage services, including cupping and oncology massage. Sign up for our free wellness screenings and learn more at MaryTWellness.com. All major health insurance providers are accepted. Come for therapy. Experience wellness.
Why must the world be so cold? They've gone against what was told. Thinking rape is cool? Think about it. They think it's not wrong. Violence against women, the rape, the abuse, the emotional, physical, they all hold the hate. Think about it. Is it right or wrong? What attracts you? I'm not saying no names, but you laugh. Talk about it like nothing is wrong. Think about it. They all hold the hate. Gotta stop the violence. Stop the hate. Think about it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
This is Leonard Pilt here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
You know, it's funny. I hear laughter in that. I think when we asked him to do that, it was a few years ago when Dallas Goldtooth was on the show. And I think I hear myself laughing every time, and that makes 100%. Me laugh every time.
Every time I get the biggest smile and laugh to myself, it's just like, I want to just go back and rewatch that whole series again. It was just so phenomenal. Just, I mean, there's still things I'm kind of pondering and thinking about, but like Dear Woman and the prison scene when she went to visit her mom.
Yeah, her aunt.
Her aunt,
Daniel's mom.
Those are a couple of the episodes, or the hunting, when she went hunting with her auntie. Yeah. I mean, those are some of the things that just really have stuck with me and come to mind every so often. So I really do want to get back and rewatch that whole series.
Well, did you ever remember that episode where Cheese was put into like a home for kids?
Yes.
So you know who wrote that? Bobby Wilson. He wrote that whole, and well, he came from Ende Young. He was a, he stayed there at Ende Young when he was young, and he also worked there as an, at Ende Young as a young adult. And so he, that's where he met Dallas Goldtooth. They both worked at Ende Young. And so it was funny that he did that episode about, geez, being in like a wayward place for kids.
Of all of them.
Yeah.
Who would end up in something like that. But wow, that's really cool. You know, and just to say, you know, kind of give kudos to the Ende Young Center here in the Twin Cities. What a phenomenal resource they are to our tribal community, both both, you know, well, the youth, because there's the youth homeless shelter in St. Paul,
right?
And somebody that I'm very close to lives there, and they take extreme good care of him. And then of course the adult one, but you know, priceless the work that they do. It, that's not easy work. And while it was humorous on Res Dogs in some ways, it was also very heartbreaking when he had to deal with some really abrasive personalities. But then when you got to know why that young man was in that home and what they were working, you know, once you know their story, you can't blame them. You just can't blame them anymore. And it just, they become so endearing. And I know that the staff at the Ende Young Centers here in the Twin Cities are just phenomenal, caring people. And I can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah, really good point. One thing I want to tell you too, Mary, I know you weren't able to make it the night, and Sterling was talking about the character Uncle Brownie as being a takeoff of his father. His father lived out in the woods and you know, did those things and buried things, and so
I have a sibling or two that I watched that, I'm like, oh my god, that's exactly right. Yes, very much so.
Right, and the police officer was based on somebody, so it all had to, all these people had to do with his coming to age, so to speak. And he talked about a story about shaking everybody, his mom taking him everywhere and shaking everyone's hand. You know how we do that. This is your relative. This is your cousin. You know, these are all your cousins, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he found out that it was about community. And that's what the end of the show was, that the reservation dog kids all found their place in community. And that Native communities are so strong.
Yeah, they were working so hard to get the heck out of there, to find themselves or you know, the meaning of their life. Like a lot of things, a lot of stories, it's right there in front of you. You just aren't recognizing it. And sometimes you have to go through a lot of pain and a lot of stuff to get to that point. So, yeah, that was just an incredible, incredible show.
I'm a big fan of Ricky Gervais, and I don't know if you know, but he's a British comedian, and he did the original Office, and you know, that was based on the American model, and none of his series ever went longer than 3 years. He always stopped him when he was on top, and so I get what Reservation Dogs did. They finished their story, just 3 years, and they didn't want to become a character themselves, and I applaud that big time.
Yeah, but you see, they really left us wanting more. That's all I can say. I you know, maybe they'll come back with something or some spin-offs or, you know, a powwow special. I don't know, but
or a movie.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, that would be cool too.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. What a lucky time it was to have that.
Just to say one thing about them and segue into something else. I know like they'd wear stuff from people that we know, vendors like Land Back hats, and you're on Native, you know, you saw a lot of familiar stuff, and and it came out of Minnesota, and we have Land Back things happening here.
We do. And sometimes I just am so surprised by how progressive Minnesota is on these issues. Not everybody is, you know, is in favor of returning and restoring the lands to the indigenous people here in Minnesota. And we get pushback at the legislature, but we've been really, really fortunate. I was a little heartbroken today that I wasn't able to get down to the Upper Sioux agency, the Upper Sioux community, to go on a commemorative walk for the return of the sacred lands that we were able to get back to the Upper Sioux community last year. That was something that I worked on with Chair Jensvold, who has been a champion for the return of those lands. I think he said he'd been working on it for 18 years. Wow. And it was just a really small piece of land that held significant historical and spiritual value to the Upper Sioux. The park itself is only about a little more than 2 square miles, but there are ruins of the federal buildings that were once there, where the officers stored the supplies that came from the federal government that were to go to the Dakota people. And that what led to the Dakota War, because those officers withheld all the food and the supplies and the tools, all of the things, blankets, building materials, and the Dakota people were starving. And, you know, they rose up, and that led to the inevitable hanging of the Dakota 38 plus 2. And, you know, it's a state park. That just does not make sense. I don't know how many communities are going to open up their cemeteries, take away the tombstones or whatever happened there, and turn it into a state park. And so it took Chair Jensvold 18 years, but he did it. We did it last year, and today was a walk for that commemoration. And there are a couple things that kept me close to home today instead of getting down there. But that is one of those pieces of success. We're also able this year to return a very small portion, but again, a very important, impactful piece of land to Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe that had been in the works for a while. And then again, this session, we worked on two other big pieces of land return. One was Red Lake. I did this all day yesterday. Red Lake, they were cheated out of a portion of that lake, the shoreline, and exclusive rights to it. Not exclusive to keep just to the tribe, but they were that they would manage it. And that was a huge uproar during session when we introduced that piece of legislation. And then the other piece of legislation that I'm working on is the return of the White Earth State Park.
Wow,
that was removed. I mean, it's 100% encompassed in White Earth Reservation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's timbered. So there's companies in there taking the timber, hauling it out of there, making money off of that, as is the DNR. There are licenses for fishing and hunting, ATV, all those sort of things, those dollars that it generates. None of that money is going to the tribe. None of those dollars are going to the tribe. In fact, there's school trust lands in there that none of the money is going to the school children. And so those are some of the things that we were working on. But yesterday I was in a meeting all day, and maybe you'll give me time to talk about that because it's right down here on the mighty Mississippi River, Hennepin County, Minneapolis.
Yeah, we will talk about that. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Justice Department says it won't prosecute Attorney General Merrick Garland for contempt of Congress for turning over transcripts but not audio recordings of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur. CBS's Nicole Killian.
They say that the Department of Justice did try to accommodate this request from House Republicans, even though they didn't necessarily feel that it was substantive.
Alex Jones must sell off assets to pay more than $1 billion he owes for defamation of parents of the Sandy Hook school shooting. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Infowars.com will survive for now, but Jones no longer controls the business assets, and his attorney says they are preparing for a, quote, orderly liquidation.
The Supreme Court strikes down the ban on gun bump stock. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The legal question was, what allows the bump stock to spray all those bullets? The machine itself, or the trigger finger of the person firing the gun?
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The former commander of Volk Field wants Governor Evers to investigate how National Guard leaders handled her termination. Leslie Zisda Martin was cleared in 4 internal investigations into alleged misconduct. Current and former Guard members tell Wisconsin Watch that Adjutant General David May broke National Guard policies. Half of all Americans hold down working-class jobs, but that's true for less than 2% of all state lawmakers. Researcher Nicholas Carnes says middle-income earners are priced out of public service.
Democracy is a good thing, but this is an unintended side effect of just how burdensome it is to run for office in any setting. And so we need to think about targeted interventions that will make running for office more accessible to working class people.
The study comes from Duke and Loyola Chicago Universities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. There will be a Practical Magic Part 2, according to the New York Post. The tabloid has Nicole Kidman on record saying she and Sandra Bullock are both returning for the sequel. The two actresses will revise their roles as Jillian and Sally Owens, two sisters who are witches and try to lift a curse that prevents them from finding love. The first film was released in 1998 and based on the 1995 book of the same name by Alice Hoffman. Oscar-winning writer Akiva Goldsman will write the script. There was a notable brat missing from Bratz, the new documentary by Andrew McCarthy. The phrase Brat Pack describes a group of actors from the 80s, which included Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, Demi Moore, Ali Sheedy, and Molly Ringwald. McCarthy recently addressed Ringwald's absence from the film, saying that when he contacted her, she said she'd just like to keep looking forward. It was later revealed she would have loved to take part in the project, but saw a script titled Bratz and thought the documentary was about bratwursts and was too embarrassed to say anything after the fact. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, cloudy, then some storms possible early Sunday. Some sun for Sunday afternoon, heating up and more humid, high mid-80s. Currently, it's 66.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we're back in the studios of Madison celebrating our Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win Win. Join us. All that and more review of the weekend's news. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 64, then Saturday showers and thunderstorms likely with a high of 73. These heavy spring rains can cause damage to your home or property before you even notice. If you need help and don't know where to start, contact Chuck at Native Concrete and Masonry. Find more information at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working with clients to design, perform, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
We love those guys, and they do a great job, and they've been getting a lot of calls. So call up and support our native businesses across the Twin Cities and Turtle Island. So we really appreciate their support. Say that again.
Yeah. I said, I love that you do that. We need a professional depository of all these different services of native folks who do the work that we can just dial into.
Yeah, definitely. And at least get a bid for, if nothing else, you know, and get a good price so we know where we're at. And I know they do a great job, and they've been around a long time, and they reached out to the nation to the radio show. I got mixed up on jobs there, State Senator. here we are, and supporting each other as we should be as natives. But so there's, you know, we talk about pronouncing words and native words, and Bede Makaska took me a couple months to say, but you're working at, there's good things happening here on the Mississippi River.
Yeah. Yes. Here in Minneapolis, right downtown Minneapolis, there's a series of falls, and on those falls was built a lock and dam, mm-hmm. because we had so many granaries and so much business that came, that flowed down up from barges in Minneapolis down to St. Paul and then further south. And the Army Corps of Engineers decided they didn't need to do the lock and dam anymore. There aren't barges and things going through there anymore. And so those pieces of land were just kind of sitting there. And there were some well-to-do, well-informed men who recognized that this was historic Dakota land, and specifically Paul Raelitz. He was an incredible man. He just passed in the last week or two, but he was like the most important piece of getting Yamani, Ohokte Yapi. I'm still practicing that one.
That's good.
Thank you. And he was really instrumental in every stage of getting that lock and dam area, and then some of the land along the shoreline at St. Anthony Falls back to the Dakota people. And I'm really super fortunate to have been asked to be on that board. And so we spent an entire day yesterday down there looking at it, kind of dreaming about what we could do and what it could become. And, a lot of people don't know the history, and that the Dakota people were very much concentrated in this area. Right next to that lock and dam and part of it, there used to be an island. It was called Spirit Island. It was a very sacred island. It wasn't connected. It wasn't land connected. So, you know, you had to canoe out to it when the ceremonies were there. And it was destroyed. It was destroyed piece by piece by piece, and it sat on limestone. So they you know, took all that limestone out and changed the trajectory of the water flow. There's also another island up there that that is called, I want to make sure I get this right, Widawashte, which means good island or island good, that has been, you know, tampered with and distorted. That was a sacred island that the women would go to give birth to their children. It was within view of the of Spirit Island. And so our task is to reimagine how we can bring this back in a really good way. And we spent, it was just phenomenal. Shelley Buck and Barry Hand were, Barry was actually the one who was the, who orchestrated the day, but Shelley is the director or CEO. Right. I don't know what her title is there with this. And we just had an incredible number of people. Gwen Westerman, who is our poet laureate, was there with her partner, Glenn, who shared so much wisdom and led the prayers and reminded us, kind of grounded us in the work that we were doing. But it's just absolutely fascinating to be able to take this big chunk of concrete that restricts the water, right, and we can't destroy it, we can't get rid of it, okay, but how can we redo it so that it is a reminder of the original people, the Dakota people, and then also educate people on the history, but also what we are and where we are now as Dakota people, and then hopefully to preserve those areas, those really sacred areas, for time to come. And those are the fascinating things that we're able to be working on here in Minnesota. And I'm just so thankful.
You know, it's interesting. One of my favorite college courses was geology at the University of Minnesota. And they talked about the falls and how Father Hennepin could figure out how old they found a prehistoric beaver there, and they could figure out by how the erosion of the falls, because it keeps pushing back, if they didn't it would keep moving back, and how they figured out the age. And it was really really an interesting class. I would have liked to get dug deeper in that, the kind of the history of rocks and sediment and all those things. And I heard, and I don't know if this is true, so of course I'm going to tell it on a radio show all over the country, is that if we didn't have all the dredging, because you know, they've been doing this for years. There's been commerce on the river, and now there's not commerce, and they close that, they close that lock and dam, which I was able to at one time drive up to because of the invasive species. They don't want to come down or come up any further. And also that there's no traffic there anymore, as you were saying earlier. And what's interesting is if they stop dredging it out, they said that the river will go, this might be the misinformation, that the river would only be like about 12 inches deep if it wasn't messed with. I don't know if you've heard that, or maybe we should edit this out, Haley. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know if it would be that everywhere. Like, I grew up right on the Mississippi River, about 80 miles north of the Twin Cities, where there was a dam, because there was a paper mill right there. But even above that dam and below that dam, there were some pretty deep areas, you know. And of course, when you mess with it, you have all these whirlpools. My dad always, we'd be say, oh, we're going to go down and play in the river and the Watab Creek. And he's like, watch out for the eddy sharks. And for a long time, we were thinking that they were like really sharks when you're little kids. And then you're like, once you figure out what an eddy really is, it was kind of a family joke. But I think there are some pretty deep places, you know, once you get into some of those areas, especially in the middle of of the Mississippi. And when I was a kid, they used to float logs down the Mississippi River to that paper mill. Wow. And I remember really vaguely what that was like. And you'd get that big jam up right above the dam. And then they'd have like a lumberjack day where guys would get out there and, you know, roll the logs and try, you know, two of them are trying to get one off. Cool. So I'm sure that had a huge effect on the depth of the water. I'm sure there's lots of things.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And what's funny too, as you were speaking, I'm going, well, in downtown St. Paul, I know it's 40 feet deep there. So that's probably, there's probably just parts would be a lot shallower. You're right.
Yeah. Well, even when you get down by like Lake City.
Yeah.
Lake City. I mean, there's that big lake that's actually the river.
Right.
But I don't know that that's a really deep lake, is it? Because it's basically sort of man-made.
Right. And there's a lot of sediment in it now.
Yeah.
And, wow, we've turned into a kind of a river talk show. That's awesome.
Well, you know, you were talking about the geology and the class. Yeah. Once we get to a certain age, we can take classes at the University of Minnesota for free, no credit. So maybe we should all go back to school and learn a few more things that
yeah,
we don't really know, but we talk about like we know.
Wow, that's right. Well, I did put a little disclaimer on that, and because I heard something like that, because I noticed that on the other side of the other lock in St. Paul, that we bring our pontoon over there, and it's pretty shallow now. And I know they used to have to dredge it out there for all the tugboats and towboats and barges.
Yeah, I mean, I used to live in Northeast Minneapolis, right near, you know, all of this, and right by Boom Island and Weetawashte. And I used to take my kids down there, and we'd climb on the rocks, and you know, it was not that deep when the lock and dam was shut.
Mm.
But again, once it opened up, holy moly, you know, the water just rose very quickly. It was worse than a tide coming in, you know, that you see. So I hate to say that there, you know, we mess with the Mississippi River, but at least we're working hard to put some of those things back that were done in a bad way.
Yeah, and knowledge is power. These things that we talk about and that you're working with them, that's great, because we've proven over and over again that we can go back in a good way on these kind of things. And I'm excited to see what's next.
Yeah, I am too.
Right on. Well, speaking on what's next, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, for stopping in on Fridays. And this is Native Roots Radio. And up next, we'll have Wendy with her sacred animal portion.
Great. Happy Father's Day to everybody as well.
Pinigigi, thank you. We'll be right back.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, which airs every Saturday at 5 p.m. I interview many interesting Minnesotans and listen to their ideas on how they plan to improve the lives of members of the LGBTQ community and our wider Minnesota community, and then to hear their opinions on current events. Remember, you could listen to the Downright Upright Show with Philip Anthony every Saturday at 5 p.m. on radio or wherever you listen to podcasts. So come and join me and continue being fantabulous.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. So I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, mavericksbeef.com, or check out their restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! And here's Wendy with a fun fact, Friday Sacred Animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues on the local and state level. And as always, it is my pleasure to do that. Today we have a story from Care 11. Care 11 is a new station in Minnesota, and this is updated on June 13th. A reported birth of a rare white buffalo in Yellowstone National Park fulfills a Lakota prophecy that says better times, according to the members of the American Indian tribe, who cautioned that it also is a signal that more must be done to protect the earth and its animals. The birth of this calf is both a blessing and a warning. We must do more, said Chief Orville Looking Horse, the spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Oyate in South Dakota, and the 19th keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf woman pipe and bundle. I'm going to tell you more about this story here. It's very interesting. Let's see here. So the birth of the sacred calf comes after a severe winter in 2023, which drove thousands of Yellowstone buffalo, also known as bison, to the lower elevations. More than 1,500 were killed, sent to slaughter, or transferred to tribes seeking to reclaim stewardship over an animal their ancestors lived alongside for millions of years. Aaron Braden took several photos of the calf shortly after it was born on June 4th in the Lamar Valley in the northeast corner of the park. Her family was visiting the park when she spotted something really white along a herd of bison across the Lamar River. She said that traffic stopped and she was able to take some pictures of this beautiful little white calf. For the Lakota, the birth of a white buffalo calf with a black nose, eyes, and hooves is said to the second coming of Jesus Christ, Looking Horse said. Lakota legend says about 2,000 years ago, when nothing was good, food was running out, and bison were disappearing, white buffalo calf woman appeared, presented a bowl pipe and a bundle to the tribal members, taught them how to pray, and said that the pipe could be used to bring buffalo to this area for food. As she left, she turned to a white buffalo calf. Quote, and someday, when the times are hard again, Looking Horse said, in relating the legend, I shall return and stand upon the earth as a white buffalo calf with black nose, black eyes, and black hooves. So this is a beautiful story about this little white buffalo calf, and we're just going to keep an eye on it and send updates every now and then when we find out how he or she is doing. We don't know if it's a he or she yet, I don't think. So anyway, a couple of funny little things here since it's Fun Fact Friday. I've been collecting these little memes here and there, and I find them on Facebook and social media, and people are very clever who come up with these things. So just a little bit of backstory. You know, like when you're driving around and you see these billboards about lawyers, right? If you get into a car accident, you know, call, you know, blah, 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 blah. All those billboards that you see for lawyers for all kinds of different things. Well, here's one with a dog on the front of it. And it's one of those billboard posters. And it says on the top, did your human promise you a car ride and take you to the vet? You may be entitled to compensation. Do not sit, stay, and settle. Paw us today to schedule your pro bono consultation. Established 2024. Sniffin', Lick'em, and Stick'em. Law Attorneys at Law. I think that's really cute. Augie Esquire, founder and good boy. And it's a picture of a chihuahua. So that's pretty cute. Yeah, people are really clever. They come up with all these little fun little things that I think is so funny. You know, I just watched a video of a baby orca in the sea seeking out help from human beings who were on a boat. So this little orca had something in its mouth, like a piece of rubber, and he kept bringing it up to show the people and acting really weird and laying on its back and like giving a whining sound. So the people on the boat really were like, there's something wrong, something's happening. So they decided to follow the baby calf. And the baby orca calf brought them to its mother, who was tied up and caught in a buoy line. So the mom's tail was caught up in a buoy line and couldn't, you know, swim. So the people, you know, jumped into the water, and the mom stayed really nice and calm. And they were able to take the buoy line off the mom calf. And then she swam away with the mom, and her and the calf swam away. And then just moments after that, you see other orcas coming and like flapping around and flapping their fins in the water and jumping up and splashing and to say thank you. So we see all different kinds of animals seeking help from humans, you know. You think that animals would be not wanting to do that after all the awful things that we do to them. But sometimes, once in a while, when an animal asks for help, humans jump in and they help them. There's another story of a baby elephant who fell into a ditch, and the baby elephant couldn't get out. So the other adult elephants went to find humans, and the humans came with a tractor with equipment to be able to move the earth and dig out the hole deeper so that this little baby calf elephant could crawl out without getting hurt. And then you see the elephants throwing up their trunks and making that blowing sound, you know, thanking people. There's another video, and you could go on YouTube and just find hundreds of these videos where animals come and seek help from humans. There's another one where a deer had a box stuck on its head. It was probably looking for some type of food. And what happened was the deer came up to the person. You could see the deer was really scared, but the person was kind of talking to it and soothing it, and the deer let the human take the box off its head. There's so many. There's another video of a wolf who's starving and seeks food from a human, and the human, the guy gives him, you know, food. So we find these stories all the time, even like during the droughts, where animals can't find any water, where there's a really cute video. You should definitely look this one up, of a squirrel like coming up to this guy's leg and scratching on its leg and wanting the water bottle that the guy is carrying. And the guy, you know, realizes.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show. Pat Kreitlo.
Monday on Up North News Radio, Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin talks about their work to remind voters of candidates' real records, not just their rhetoric.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlo. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Max Inc. Radio.
He can play it all, and will challenge Graham Marlowe to it when he's in studio for a live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy Kane.
Weekend evenings on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.